Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Very happy to have you with us. This hour is, of course, Open Forum, because it's Tuesday. And if this is Tuesday, that means Open Forum. I think they made a movie like that one time. If this is Tuesday, then must be Belgium was the name. Well, not well. If it's Tuesday, it must be Open Forum around here. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Or you can contact us via Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or Periscope by typing your question in there, and we'll do our very best to get to your question. All questions are welcome, having to do with the Catholic faith, and you don't have to be Catholic to call. Anybody is welcome to call with any question at all, and we're not going to take offense. Don't worry. If it's a challenging question, we're happy to take a challenging question. And who better to do that than the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers, Tim Staples. Hi, Tim.
It is great to be with you, buddy.
Very, very good to be with you. Thank you. Thanks. And did I misspeak, or are you really ready to take challenging questions?
I am ready.
You feel like you could do it? You can handle it today?
Bring it on, baby.
888-3187. Oh, I should have said, and also TV star, because you're a big part of the TV show that starts on Saturday.
That's right. Yeah. I see this thing here. This has been a long time coming. It's been.
But you would know.
I mean, yeah, it's something that we've wanted to do for many years, but it has finally come together. We're excited. The first episode of Catholic Answers Live TV version on EWTN is going to air this Saturday, April 22nd at 7 p.m. Pacific. That's 10 p.m. Eastern, right?
Yep.
And then it's going to re-air next Tuesday, April 26th at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's exciting. And then we're going to be doing regular TV shows, but the times and dates are to be announced. Am I right?
I think John Versillo put something out on Facebook about maybe the May dates are out.
Oh, are they?
But I don't have those in front of me, so I don't know.
But we do know the series will air once a month to begin with,
yeah.
Eventually expanding to more frequent episodes. So we will be posting and may have already posted the May dates, but that is exciting.
At the very least, Saturday and Tuesday, take a look, because it's not – and for those of you who are watching us streaming on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or Periscope, it's not that. It's a much more graphic show. It's got all kinds of interesting intros and outros and time spent with the various apologists and others.
It is exciting.
Yes, outro is a word. Everyone's laughing in the booth, but outro is a word. You were laughing at something else. Okay. Sorry.
They were probably laughing at me.
Yeah. Universe revolves around me for a minute. Does that every now and then.
Yes.
888-318-7884 is the number. Calls, Tim, or anything else you want to talk about? Oh, well, we should mention, I'm sorry, I Behold Your Mother, of course, your book. I try to mention that when you're on.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
You could even mention my other book, Nuts and Bolts.
I don't want to mention that one because, no, I'm sorry.
That'd just be too much.
that's overwhelming.
So look, imagine we didn't mention Nuts and Bolts.
Right.
A book that you can get at Catholic.com. We didn't really mention that.
No,
we're only going to mention Behold Your Mother, which is a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines.
Yes, right.
Which you can also get at Catholic.com or Amazon.com or at your local Catholic bookstore. But we shouldn't really talk about.
No, that's gauche. We don't want to talk about all that. But I just want to do. It is nuts and bolts that we're not mentioning, right?
That's correct.
So I'm going to make a note of that.
We shouldn't mention that it's available at Catholic.com.
Okay. All right. I'm clear what not to say then. And you are the author of both of those things. Alicia, in, I believe it's Gusley, Oklahoma, watching on YouTube Live. Thanks for watching. Alicia, hello. And what is your question for Tim Staples?
Yes, hello. I have a question about In Persona Christi. I was reading a book called Seven Secrets of the Eucharist by Vinnie Flynn, in which he says that Pope John Paul II explains that the priest is called, this quote, the priest is called to be so completely and personally united to Christ as to become, in a very real sense, another Christ. And he goes on to talk about this, but he didn't really answer the question that I have,
okay,
which is how does the church kind of reconcile saying that, you know, Christ is the one true Son of God, the one true,
yes,
Christ, but then also say that priests become in another real sense, another Christ.
Right. It's a great question, Alicia. Understand, when you hear those words, another Christ, it doesn't mean, you know, like the other Christ that Jesus or St. Paul condemns when he talks about, I fear for you, Corinthians, lest after I've preached a Christ, you should receive another Christ. That is another Jesus Christ. That's a false Christ. But what we're talking about is what St. Paul describes in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, when he says, when I was among you, Corinthians, whoever sins I forgave them in the person of Christ. Now, some of the modern Bibles will say in the presence of Christ. The Greek word there is prosopon, which is actually the same word used later by the Council of Ephesus in 431 for the persons, prosopa, the persons of the Blessed Trinity. But the point is when St. Paul says he forgave the sins of the Corinthians, he wasn't doing that by his own power, but he was doing it in the person of Christ, or the power of Jesus Christ working in him and through him. And when the priest functions like St. Paul did when he forgave those sins, or when the priest functions in confecting the Eucharist, he doesn't do that by his own power, but by virtue of his ordination. He is so configured to Christ that he becomes Christ for us. You'll notice that when the priest confects the Eucharist at the Mass, he doesn't say, this is Jesus's body, right? He says, this is my body. When he absolves you of your sins, he doesn't say, Jesus forgives you. He says, absolvote, I absolve you of your sins in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And why is that? Because of that great mystery of the priest functioning in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, so that when he says those words, there's really two persons speaking, the priest, but more importantly, it's Jesus Christ who speaks through him. So we're not talking about another Christ in the sense of a false Christ, a different Christ, but it is Jesus Christ who functions through the priest, so that it is Christ who absolves the sins, and the priest by the power of Jesus Christ. So we're not denying that Jesus forgives sins. We're not denying that Jesus confects the sacrament. This is that great mystery of the priest being so, as I said, so configured to Christ that he missed, in a mystical sense, becomes, or a mystical sense, he becomes Christ at that moment. Does that help you at all? We're not talking about two Christs, three Christs, or any more than one Christ. Here, let me just do a little analogy for you as well. Whenever any member of the body of Christ does anything that's efficacious or merits anything in an eternal sense, it's not by their own power, but it's by Christ working through them, right? So if I go out and share the gospel and I bring somebody to Christ, it wasn't I, but as St. Paul says, it's Christ in me, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. So we're not taking away from Christ by going out and sharing Christ, right? But it's Christ in us doing the work. Does that help at all?
Yes, it does. That's how I've always understood in persona Christi. It's just in the book, it made it sound a little bit different. So that makes perfect sense.
Gotcha. Okay. Thanks so much for your call, Alicia.
Thank you, Alicia. And we go to Mike in Seattle, Washington, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Mike, your question for Tim Staples.
Hi, guys.
Yes.
I'll get right to it. Is it a sin to attend Mass at an SSPX chapel? And can you explain why it is or isn't? I hear convincing,
sure,
arguments on both,
yes,
sides. So,
well, Mike, what we have with the SSPX, and for those of you who don't know, he's talking about the Society of St. Pius X, which unfortunately was separated from the church back in 1988 through a schismatic act of its founding bishop ordaining four bishops illicitly. And that was a terrible situation. They were excommunicated, all involved. We say late sententiae. There was an automatic excommunication. All right. That was a group that started legitimately in 1972. Bishop Lefebvre, who was then a retired bishop, was approached by some seminarians for help because the documents of Vatican II were being implemented, hijacked, if you will, and things were going crazy in some areas of the church. And so some seminarians asked Bishop Lefebvre to come out of retirement and help them, and he did. He got permission from the local ordinary because he didn't have he wasn't an ordinary. He had retired. He needed to get permission of the local ordinary to start the SSPX. So it began in union with the church, but unfortunately it deteriorated and became more and more rebellious, ordained several priests illicitly. Pope Paul VI intervened. Things were getting bad. So they were suspended ad divini, meaning they could not function as priests licitly, still validly, but not licitly. And Paul VI then died. John Paul I died. And then John Paul II really picked up the torch and tried to bring them back. But then that led to the 1988 unfortunate excommunications. But the good news is, through the work of John Paul and Benedict and now Francis, what we have is what the church refers to as an irregular situation. But there is hope that there could be a reunion here in pretty short order. So because, now very importantly to your question, because the excommunications have been lifted, those excommunications are no longer. The Code of Canon Law tells us that in order to, for example, fulfill your Sunday obligation, you need to attend a valid Catholic rite. Well, now Canonists would argue that doesn't apply to schismatic groups, so all bets would be off. But because they're no longer, and nobody can consider them schismatic anymore because the excommunications are lifted, you have a valid right in the SSPX. So anybody that would argue it would be a sin, I just don't see how you could say that. Now, what would be sinful is to imbibe a schismatic attitude. We have to be careful about that sort of thing. And we have to also recognize that they're not in full communion with the church. Now, Pope Francis, as many know, for the Year of Mercy, now let me back up just for a second for clarity's sake. Even though the SSPX priests, they're validly ordained priests, and they would then have valid Eucharist, for example, there are some sacraments that require you to be incardinated and have the permission of or have faculties from the local ordinary. And that's where it gets tricky. Both marriage and confession, for example, are two sacraments that for validity, in other words, for them to exist, you have to have the faculties from the local ordinary. So the SSPX priests did not have those faculties. All right. That's a terrible thing. Our hearts are broken, right? We need that full communion for those to be valid. Well, Pope Francis, it was an exciting thing last year for the Year of Mercy. He used his immediate universal power as Pope, juridical authority, to grant faculties to all SSPX. He doesn't have to ask permission from the local bishops.
They got the faculties.
They got the faculties because the Pope, defined infallibly by Vatican Council I, has full immediate juridical authority over each individual and the entire church. And so he gave them the faculties to hear confessions validly, which is an exciting thing. This is, saying, look, we're moving closer to full communion. Well, at the end of the year, when it was up, he didn't remove them. Yeah. But then he took another step. But now he has said, now he does not exercise his universal immediate juridical authority and grant faculties for marriage. But what he does do is he encourages the bishops to look, number one, if there is a regular priest available to witness, they ought to,
mm-hmm.
because the SSPX don't have priests don't have faculties. But he says, if there is not, he encourages the bishops to extend faculties to those SSPX priests, which is, again, this is something new. John Paul or Benedict never did. So this is exciting because this is a sign that we're moving closer toward. We're not there yet, but we're moving closer. And so that's why I would say that anyone who had said to you, Mike, that it would be sinful to simply attend a chapel, I don't see how you can say that canonically, theologically. But we do recognize that it is still an irregular situation, and so we have to caution people not to imbibe any sort of schismatic mentality or say, oh, well, it's not important then that we take that last step toward full communion.
Right, right.
No, it is still crucial that that last step be taken. But
we
at any rate,
we got to take a break.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mike, for that call, that question. We'll be right back with more Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live.
Don't you just love listening to Tim Staples? Did you know you can book Tim or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
Go forth and preach the good news. It's not just a suggestion. If you want to take more seriously the command of Jesus to share the gospel with those around you, consider joining St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's a grassroots organization that brings the Catholic faith to the streets in a non-confrontational way. Visit our website, www.streetevangelization.com, to learn more. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's time to do our part.
We've all heard the words at the end of Mass,
"Go forth and announce the gospel of the Lord."
But how exactly are you to do that? In his new book, The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did, apologist Eric Sammons takes you back to the source, taking a look at what Jesus did when he preached the good news and drawing out the lessons he taught us. All evangelization begins with a personal encounter, and so Sammons examines Jesus' most instructive gospel encounters and discovers within each a particular truth that even 2,000 years later can help us make new disciples. Evangelization is not an option, but Christ's express command. What better way to answer this call than by imitating his supreme example? Order your copy of The Old Evangelization today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live comes to EWTN Television.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Join me for a show dedicated to Catholic apologetics and evangelization as we connect viewers to prominent leaders in the church today and touch on just about everything relating to the church, from doctrinal issues to family concerns, social issues, evangelization, ethics, you name it.
Catholic Answers Live TV, Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Television.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Thank you so much for being with us. And hello to everybody watching on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Periscope. And go ahead and type those questions in there if you got questions. But the number, as always, 888-318-7884. If you prefer that spelled out, it's 888-31-TRUTH. Tim Staples, Director of Apologetics and Evangelization and author of Behold Your Mother and something else, Nuts and Bolts or something.
We're not going to talk about that.
Is our guest this hour. And joining us in studio at this moment, Chris Check, President of Catholic Answers. Hi, Chris.
Gentlemen, happy Easter. I know you've already said happy Easter to the listeners many times. Christ is risen. What a great time. Christos Anesti, as our Greek friends say.
Amen.
Yeah. So our conference is approaching fast.
Yes.
This will be our fourth, I think I can say, international conference, because we always get people from outside the U.S.
We sure do. Yep.
And we have a great theme this year: the reunion of all Christians. And of course, why did we choose that? Well, this is the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's wound to the mystical body of Christ, right? When he made his objections to the church's teaching, especially with respect to indulgences, and then causing this massive, as Tim knows better than I, splintering upon splintering upon splintering, yeah, that just does not stop, of all of our separated brethren. So this year, we're gathering here in San Diego. We have a nicer hotel. The room rate is lower. The conference cost is lower. And we've got a number of outside speakers we haven't had before.
Yeah.
Devin Rose, whose book, Crossing the Tiber, has been a bestseller for us, who's going to talk about helping your friends into the Roman Church.
Steve Weidenkopf.
Steve Weidenkopf, the historian, who's done a number of good books for us. And, of course, our friend from Ignatius Press,
Mark Brumley.
Mark Brumley, often, thank you.
I thought you were throwing it to me.
Yeah. But, you know, I was. Why didn't you pick that up?
I'm sorry. Often a guest here on Mark's Catholic Answers Live.
Honest, Mark, he didn't forget your name.
Oh, my goodness. So, no, it's going to... And what's Mark's book? Seven Deadly Sins of Apologetics or something
yes,
like that?
Yes, and I've been guilty of all seven of them. I remember when I first read it, I was like, oh, my gosh. I did all these. It's a good book.
So it's just going to be... And then, of course, the Catholic Answers team. Carlo and Tim and yep. Jimmy and... Of course, you're going to be our master ceremony.
And we're going to do a live broadcast of the program there as well.
That is so much fun. The studio audience or everyone there assembled at the conference serves as the studio audience. We take live questions from the audience. It's just a blast. These conferences have been – and each year the enrollment goes up, and we're going to get to 1,000 this year, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But did you do any kind of like early bird thing?
I think there's an early bird special. When does it expire? July 2nd.
July
2nd. So until July 2nd, you can get the early bird pricing on the
go to CatholicAnswersConference.com for all those pricing details. We have a full package that includes all the meals and the banquets and the receptions and this sort of thing. And then there's even just a lectures-only package as well. So,
and the last 2 years, I was at the conference not as a member of the Catholic Answers family. And it's just – it's really fun. I mean, people – it's delightful. You meet people from all over. I know it's international because I met someone from Hong Kong last year.
The Philippines we've had.
And it just feels like old home week there. It's really
you know, Si, it's like our cruises. The talks are great. San Diego's a beautiful destination. Who wouldn't want to come here? Yes. September, by the way, is my favorite month in San Diego.
Oh, people don't know this. September is, excuse me, I got a little excited there. September is the perfect month in San Diego.
Because all the crowds are gone. The water's still warm. Tim Ryland will be giving surfing lessons.
Will he really?
Well, we'll have to see.
I need him.
Yeah. So, CatholicAnswersConference.com. But, like you were saying, it's just, you know, in the hallway during the breaks, just the
energy.
The energy of the mystical body there. It's a little glimpse of what it's going to be like on the other side of the veil. I feel I can say that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's beautiful. And it's wonderful to meet folks face to face. And how many times, Chris, do we hear it? I hear it from folks like, wow, I've heard you on the radio so many times now. I see you. I have a face. Now we're on
television,
though.
And they have a look of disappointment on their face.
Yeah, that's right. Then they're disappointed. But, you know, now that we're on television, maybe they won't be saying that as much. But it's really a special time.
It is. Yeah. Better hotel, lower room rate, lower conference rate. Early bird special ends July 2nd. CatholicAnswersConference.com. Folks, sign up today. I look forward to seeing
you. And what's the actual date?
Oh, somebody should say the date.
Oh, yes. September 28th through 30th.
Right.
Sorry.
You can remember that. It's the weekend of the Feast of St. Michael.
September 28th through the 30th. That's 2017. That would be this year.
The reunion.
Little by little, the details are coming out.
And by the way, of course, we'll be having talks about how to walk with our separated brethren back into the fullness of the truth. But Tim, I know for one of your talks, it's what we can learn.
Absolutely.
From our separate brethren.
Right.
Amen. I'm going to be focusing on that. And I hear that as well, Chris, everywhere I go. The converts tend to come into the church and kind of pump folks up.
Without question.
We all have our gifts, right? But we bring a different perspective. And I do think there are benefits that can come from our separated brethren.
Absolutely.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Good. All right.
Do you think we can use any of the stuff there on the TV show now that we have a new TV show?
That's great. I'm going to talk to John Versillo in video right now.
Oh, really?
About that idea.
Finally, I had an idea that somebody could use here at Catholic Answers.
After 3 months. Today's your 3-month anniversary, right, Si?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. 3 months. Yeah. That's why I wanted to spend it with Tim. He's so special.
CatholicAnswersConference.com. We'll see you all in San Diego in September.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much. And it's about time for a break, but Kathy, maybe we could, if we could get you, Kathy, in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio to give us your question, then Tim will have to give us the answer when we come back. Think you can do that, Kathy?
Sure.
All right, go ahead.
I can certainly do that.
Okay, good.
My question is about Holy Days of Obligation.
Okay.
It's kind of confusing because it seems like no matter which diocese you are in, there are different ones for each diocese and even different countries.
Gotcha.
Okay.
What's the deal?
Yes. Well, so what's that's a great way to phrase the question. What's the deal with holy days of obligation? Tim
great
Staples,
question.
Our guest this hour, will be back to answer that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Glad you're with us. Join us on air with your questions today on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about the most exciting and innovative Catholic book in years. In today's world, people from countless perspectives pose challenges to our Catholic faith every day, in conversations, through the mass media, on the internet, and more on the infinite collection of social media platforms. There's no getting away from this daily onslaught. We as Catholics need to stand strong, to be prepared, to mount a daily defense, to respond to the many challenges that we, as believers, are presented with every day. To that end, my good friend and apologist extraordinaire Jimmy Akin has come up with what will surely be a great resource for years to come, a daily defense. A daily defense takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, 366 in all, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, which challenges and answers indexed alphabetically by scripture verses or by topic. So finding the answers can be quick and easy. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
With his new DVD, Understanding Revelation, Decoding the Bible's Most Mysterious Book, Jimmy Akin unlocks the secrets of Revelation so that anyone can understand them. Packed with almost 2 hours of eye-opening material, it paints an entirely different picture of the book of Revelation than the one most people already have. The book of Revelation was meant to reveal God's message to his church. And in Understanding Revelation, Jimmy Akin shows you how it does exactly that. Order your copy of Understanding Revelation today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tomorrow on EWTN Radio, join Jerry and Debbie on Take Two. Their guest, Father Joshua Wagner, has some great advice on positive ways to use media, including social media, at the personal level and at the parish level. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie airs weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. And coming up right after Catholic Answers Live today, Mother Angelica Live Classics. Mother discusses how God's transforming presence makes us more like Christ right here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. So happy to have you with us on this Tuesday of the Easter octave. Don't forget, Easter is 8 days. It goes all the way until the Feast of the Divine Mercy next Sunday. And so we still can say Happy Easter to one another and mean it, because it is, in fact, Easter. When we went to the break, however, we had Kathy on the line from Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio, Tim, and she was saying, what's the deal with holy days of obligation, I guess, meaning why are they different in different places?
Right. You know, and I think this goes hand in hand with the idea of the liturgical development that has happened around the world. You know, a lot of folks, have a false understanding of the church, that it's this sort of, you know, rigorous, you know, everybody. Yeah. They just legislate how you move your fingers and, you know, don't breathe right there. No, you know, but it's really not like that. I must confess, before I was Catholic, that was kind of the vision I had of Catholic. They're just so rigid, bound up in the law, the law of the church and all that. They've just replaced the old law with all their new laws. But in fact, the liturgy has grown up organically around the world. And this is why we have in the Catholic Church 8 major rites. We have a lot of smaller rites too, but 8 major rites, 22 churches around the world that do things liturgically quite differently. You know, you go to a Byzantine rite mass and to a Latin rite mass, and they're very different. Now, the core is the same. The Eucharist, you know, the liturgy of the word,
right,
the Eucharist and such. But it's very, very different postures and different expressions. And that's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. Well, in the same way with holy days of obligation, the church has developed certain holy days that are universally recognized, you know, Christmas, Easter, and so on. But the church gives leeway to the different bishops' conferences around the world to petition the Holy Father to say, you know, we don't want to observe this holy day, we want to observe this holy day, and to have special days for their country. You know, St. Patrick's Day, we just saw recently, even in the United States, during the season of Lent, because it fell on a Friday this year, the bishops were given the leeway, if you will, to be able to dispense us from having to abstain on that Friday, which I thought was a great thing because I'm Irish, man. And if I wasn't Irish, I would have been honorary Irishman for that day so I could eat some meat. No, but that's just an example of how different countries will want to celebrate different feast day in a more particular way, and different countries will want to have different holy days of obligation that they emphasize. They may choose to move the observance of another holy day. So, you know, in answer to your question, the church gives leeway to different countries, different bishops' conferences, because different countries have different emphases because of their particular, the way that they have grown up in the faith. And that for them, for Ireland and for the United States, which has so many Irish people in it, St. Patrick's Day takes on a different sort of emphasis than, say, in other countries, let's say in Africa or Asia.
Does that help you, Kathy?
Well, yes, but the question, too, is
okay.
If you miss a holy day of obligation, is it a sin?
Yes. Yes. If you knowingly, willfully, and that's a whole nother question, this gets to the authority that Jesus gave to the church, for example, in Matthew 18:18. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Because Jesus gave, now you can go back to Matthew 16:18-19, and Jesus gives a singular authority to Peter, the keys of the kingdom, as well as the authority to bind and loose. And then in Matthew 18:18, he gives the power of binding and loosing to all the apostles with Peter. So what that means is when they choose to bind the universal church in a matter of faith, morals, or practice, it can be a matter of discipline, then you are in fact bound. And so it would just, if you think of it this way, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came up to you and said, I want you to observe next Wednesday as a holy day, are you going to say, oh, no, Jesus, you know what, in my heart of hearts, I just think you're wrong there? Well, no, because Jesus is God. He has the authority to bind us to certain practices, right? And to loose us, as we see in Matthew chapter 15. And you remember very famously when he says it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, out of the heart, that defiles a man. That was a revolutionary statement where he basically loosed the whole Jewish world, right, from the observance of the old law as being binding. That's a revolutionary statement, but he can do that. You know why? Because he's God. Well, he as God gave that authority to the church, so that if you hear the church, you hear him, Jesus says in Luke 10:16 and Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. So yes, the answer to your question is yes. If you knowingly and willingly refuse that which has been given to us under the pains of grave sin, under the pain of mortal sin from the church, then yes, you are guilty of mortal sin. Does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you, Kathy. And Tim, on Facebook Live, Phyllis has typed in the following question. When you speak of evil spirits, are you talking strictly of fallen angels, or can they be evil people who have died and want to haunt a place or a person?
Yeah, you know, that is a great question. I was not long ago talking with a demonologist. And, you know, demonology is a part of our theology that is not really, let's say, well defined. There's not a lot about demons that's been defined by the church, mm-hmm. right? And I think rightfully so. We focus more on the bright side, the right side.
Yeah.
But there's very little. I mean, you have the Fourth Lateran Council and its decree and its declaration of faith there that talks about demons as fallen angels, you know, and that sort of thing. But when it comes to these particulars, what I do is I go to exorcists and I go to demonologists and folks who are experts in that field. And what they tell me is that when you're talking about, you know, some of these TV shows, for example, that go into these houses and supposedly speak to the 12-year-old girl who was killed there decades ago, they tell me that those folks, you're not messing with 12-year-olds that have been raped 100 years ago in that house. You're messing with demons that love to disguise themselves as anything you want to in order to trap you into seeking anything other than God and playing around with these spirits. So we have to be very careful. St. Paul, in fact, talks about be careful because the devil himself comes as an angel of light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I think it's right around verses 4 through 6. I could be wrong. It's right in there. He says, be leery because the devil is a fallen angel. And so he transforms himself into angels of light. His messengers transform themselves into messengers of light. The devil normally doesn't come with horns and stuff. He likes to deceive. He likes to hide behind whatever he can hide behind to lead you astray. So be very careful there as you're messing with demons. Now, is it possible that God can allow, you know, folks who have died to come back and speak to people? Sure. I mean, God can permit that. We have the case of Samuel with Saul in, I think it's 1 Samuel chapter 28, which was sinful. It was out of the ordinary, but God permitted it for a purpose. But generally speaking, what you're talking about is you're dabbling in the demonic arena. Don't go there. We pray. We pray to God. We pray to the saints asking for their intercession. We don't mess around with, you know, unless there's an apparition. And even there, we have to be careful and submit to the authority of the church because, you know, as the great Father Groeschel, the late great Father Benedict Groeschel in his book, I believe it's A Still Small Voice, love that book. He talks about how St. Catherine of Siena was even deceived for a time when she thought the Blessed Mother appeared. It was actually the devil disguised as the Blessed Mother, and even took St. Catherine some time to discern it was not a good angel but a fallen angel. I mean, they are, by nature, they're more powerful than we are, and so we need the grace of God, and we need the church so that we can discern truth from error here. So be very careful messing in that arena.
She was a doctor of the church.
Yes, she was.
One of the most extraordinary saints in the history of the church.
Oh, considering her lack of learning, you know,
and right.
At the outset anyway, didn't even know how to read, and she was having dictated to her these great, incredible works on predestination, for example. I mean, my goodness, yes.
888-318-7884 is the number. It is open forum on Catholic Answers Live. We'll be right back after this with more from Tim Staples and your calls.
Catholic Answers Live with Tim Staples is coming right back.
Where can you find the answers to hundreds of the most common questions about the Catholic faith? Catholic Answers 20 Answer Series, that's where. Clear, concise, and easy to carry. The 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers Press offers hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. They're available individually, at special bulk prices, or you can get a starter pack of all 20 at a very special price. And remember, you can now purchase them as e-books for reading on your mobile devices. Call 1-888-291-8000. Or visit the shop at Catholic.com today to get your copies of all the titles in this exciting new series. Or ask for them at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In the account of John 20:11, we have Mary Magdalene weeping outside the tomb when Jesus himself asked her why she wept. She began to answer, thinking that he was the gardener, when he said, "Mary." At that, she knew him. Now, this account differs from Matthew's account, which we considered yesterday. But though the details differ, the essential element is present. The risen Jesus did appear to Mary Magdalene, and she was overjoyed at the news, which is as fresh today as it was then. The eternal moment in which his suffering on Good Friday peaked and he died transcends all time. We are there, and the blood that he shed is a part of our lives. We see it as we draw near to the altar. It courses through our veins as we receive it in the Eucharist. He is risen. He is truly risen. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Thanks for being with us on this open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples is our guest, and our next caller is Lily in Indianapolis, Indiana, watching on YouTube. Hi, Lily. Thanks for watching. What's your question for Tim?
Hi. I was wondering, why are Catholic colleges like Georgetown, Loyola, Notre Dame, and St. Louis University considered Catholic, even though they promote or openly support and teach things against the Catholic Church?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I always like to remind folks at this point, Cy, I am so grateful that I am not in management. I am in sales. Because that is definitely above my pay grade. But I can hear it in your question. I sympathize with you. I've dealt with these situations for decades now of Catholic universities and such, having teachers, professors, inviting speakers, and all sorts of things that say all sorts of things up to and including blasphemous things contrary to the faith. As I mentioned Father Benedict Groeschel earlier, I remember years ago I was on a Q&A panel with him in Wichita, Kansas at a big family conference, and he said that these colleges are guilty of breaking the First Commandment. And I remember thinking, what in the world? Why did he say the First Commandment? But if you think about it, yeah, if you're putting Catholic in your name, you are claiming to speak for God's church on this earth, which means to speak for God. And so when you then allow teaching, let's say contraception, let's say it's homosexual actions or marriage or whatever it is that's contrary to the faith, you're breaking the First Commandment. And I have to tell you, this is something that drives me crazy as a Catholic apologist. Now, I sympathize with, I appreciate the plight of bishops who are trying to draw the fine distinction between freedom. I mean, they've created like religious studies departments as opposed to the theology departments. The theology, they rein it in, and the religious studies, they allow more freedom and that sort of thing, which I think is bogus. That's just Tim Staples, because the kids going to the religious studies department or the theology department are just as confused, and their parents are paying tens of thousands of dollars to get them a Catholic education, and they end up Buddhist, you know, because of the confusion. But you know what? Again, God bless the bishops. I just pray that we would, in fact, as Catholics, rein these universities in and take harder stands, because some of the stuff that goes on is absolutely crazy, at times blasphemous. And, you know, the older I get, I've got 7 kids. It takes a lot of money to educate these kids. And for the parents that are working their tails off to pay the exorbitant fees, these Catholic schools, I mean, just the high schools are crazy as far as the prices. It's, you got to be wealthy to send your kids to Catholic, if you have a large family, to send your kids to Catholic schools in most dioceses in this country. So you're breaking your back to send them there, and then they go there and get taught things. I mean, I could give you a litany of them. It is outrageous. It's wrong. It's sinful, and every other thing, right? But we need to pray. We need to pray for the folks in charge, the people involved, and praise God, too, there are some wonderful Catholic schools out there now. We were talking during the break of Thomas Aquinas College and Christendom College and so many others. In fact, I'm getting ready tomorrow to head to Ave Maria University in Marytown in Florida. I'm going to be doing a talk there in 2 days. But I sympathize, but again, I have to say that as a Catholic apologist, I'm just a grunt in the field defending the Catholic faith. And so let's pray together for these Catholic schools, for the bishops, for those in authority, that we might really rein these things in. We need a Catholic identity. We need young people that can go to Catholic schools and get fortified in their faith to live their faith instead of going there to get confused and end up leaving their faith.
Lily, what do you think?
I think it's sad hearing it, and I guess we do have to pray a lot. But I also was thinking about, like, grade schools. I've gone to Catholic grade school. I'm actually in high school right now, and I'm a junior, so I'm looking at colleges.
Yes.
And the grade schools are held to a lot of, I would say, like, higher standards. Like, they have to teach exactly what the Catholic Church teaches. But in college, it's, I don't know, they don't.
Yeah.
We don't have those kind of standards. And it's puzzling because it's still education.
So. You know what? So get yourself fortified. Be an evangelist. If you're going to a Catholic school, you know, be an evangelist. Stand up. Get involved in the Newman Society there, the Newman Club, or however focus. You can. Be, yeah, focus. What a tremendous
Fellowship
organization.
Of
Catholic University Students.
Yeah, I was trying to remember.
Great organization. You know, get involved. I was not long ago at the Texas A&M, and my gosh, they have this Catholic center there that is absolutely enormous, and it's doing great, great work. So, you know, that's what we have to do, is just focus on being good Catholics ourselves, learning our faith so that we can make a positive impact.
And if I may, Aurora Griffin, I don't know if you know her, but she wrote a book called How I Stayed Catholic at Harvard. And it's a really what I really like about this book, and what I like about Aurora, is it's a book that it's a how-to. It's not a, like, here's what we believe. It's like, here's the things you can do to maintain your Catholic faith, even at a place like Harvard, which
fantastic
and very practical. And so she'll have chapters in there. So, Lily, God bless you in your efforts. Maybe take a look at that book, How I Stayed Catholic at Harvard by Aurora Griffin.
I'm going to share a quick story with you as well, Lily.
Don't leave us, Lily.
When I was in the seminary, I was a spiritual director for the Legion of Mary there when I was in Emmitsburg, Maryland. And I would basically teach folks how to evangelize, and then we would go out and go door to door. And when I had seminarians there, but we also had some kids from the college coming over to learn and to go out with us. And I would hear the horror stories. You know, I remember this one young girl came to me and said, "My gosh, I have a religious studies teacher who is teaching that Jesus had brothers and sisters. How do I respond?" And it turned out it was a female Lutheran minister who was actually in charge of the religious studies department. And I'm going, ah, right? So I ended up, I'm helping these college students to defend their Catholic faith at a Catholic university. And I ended up getting trouble for it. That's a whole nother story. You know, and it just blew my mind. I guess I was kind of naive going into the seminary, being a convert to the Catholic faith. You know, wow. And you realize, man, there are real problems here. Yep. But you know what? That young girl is now a Dominican sister in Nashville.
Wow.
And we had a fired up group there of young people, man, that rocked their world. So that's what you do. You know, it's instead of cursing the darkness, what do you do? Light a candle.
I was getting there, man. I was too slow for you. Sorry.
That's all right.
Lily, you can see that you've fired us both up with your call. Thanks very much for that. Anything else you want to tell us before you go, Lily?
Well, my mom and dad are sitting with me, and they want to say hi. So they say hi.
All right. God bless you, Lily.
Lily's mom and dad.
And God bless mom and dad.
Amen.
They've raised a wonderful daughter.
They seem to be, and maybe more, too. We don't know about the others. Lily, they're suspect to us until we hear from them. But thank you very much for that call. It is a hard thing. And, you know, one other thing, Tim, who we might pray for is there are people who are coming into these universities that really fell away from the faith, and they're trying to reform them. And it's a hard effort because it's a real swimming upstream
situation. So they deserve our prayers as well. There's many good people in the trenches doing their very, very best.
You know what happens, Si? You mix together original sin,
yes,
free will,
yep,
and the grace of God and all that interaction, and you get a mess.
That's it. You just did my autobiography. So,
there you go.
888-318-7884 is the number. We go now to Lewis in Brooklyn, New York, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Lewis, you're on with Tim Stables. What's your question?
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
My question is, you know, I've been a Catholic for a little over 4 years now, and I've been trying to get my family to see the faith, you know.
Yes.
And basically, you know, I kind of like backed off a little bit because I constantly was getting accused of like shoving my religion down people's throats.
Right.
Or, you know, so they put it, you know. So basically, I feel like it's been such a long time, maybe like 2 years, that I kind of really like slowed down and trying to like be more informative to them. And I'm starting to realize that maybe that's an extreme, and I started to feel like maybe I'm not even really evangelizing.
Right.
So I'm not sure. Like, I just wanted to know what your thoughts of that.
Sure.
Like, is there a time, like, how can I make a better judgment on whether or not to say something or not to say something?
Yeah. Well, Lewis, you know, in my own experience being a convert, when I converted, my whole family thought I was crazy. I found that I had to deal with each family member in a different way because each human person is so different. So there's no cookie cutter, you know, do this, do this, do this, and you get this. It just doesn't work that way. I found, like, for my brother Terry, he and I just argued constantly. He was easy. You know, we would argue all night long. Within 6 months, he converted. Now he's a Catholic priest, right? My mother was totally different. It wasn't about theology with her. It was really sharing with her the miracles of Our Lady, the apparitions, incorruptibles, Eucharistic miracles that really grabbed her. She's very Pentecostal, you know, and really didn't care so much for theology, but that's what grabbed her. My father was very, very strongly anti-Catholic, so he didn't want to hear it. He was, oh, the Catholic Church is evil. You know what happened? It was introducing him to especially this one priest who was a priest who was the oldest man in the United States Army, still jumping out of airplanes. He was like 62 years old. Still, he'd been an 82nd Airborne for many years. He was in Vietnam, had a Purple Heart. My dad was airborne, right? It was introducing him to a priest like this who was a real man that ended up being kind of the inroad to where Dad would wake up and at least listen. You know, my brother Mike, it took 14 years, man. He didn't want to hear it. If you talk to him, he'd walk out of the room. My dad was the same way for a time. And I found it doesn't do any good to talk to the back of somebody's head. It just doesn't work. So for them, you just have to shut up and you have to pray, and they need to see it in your life. I think maybe that's where you are, Lewis. They need to see the change in your life. And that's what happened, I think, especially with my brother Mike and my father to a lesser degree as well. So everybody is unique. What you do is you pray, and when you don't know what to do, you pray more. And when you do know what to do, you pray more. And God will open doors in time. And the last thing I'll tell you is this, James chapter 1, verse 5, you have a prayer that you know God will always answer with an affirmative. Pray for wisdom. And Scripture says, if you do, God will not upbraid. He will not refuse. He will grant you wisdom so that when doors open to evangelize, you can walk through them, my friend. I wish we had more time, Lewis, but I hope that gets you started.
Thank you very much, Lewis. Thanks for everybody who joined us today on Catholic Answers Live. Thank you, Tim Stables. It was a real pleasure.
Always a pleasure to be with you, my friend. God bless.
And I've enjoyed your books, Behold Your Mother, and that other one that we're not going to mention.
Nuts and Bolts. We're not going to talk about it.
You're such a sneaky person. Tomorrow, the chaplain will be in. Father Vincent Serpa is here, and Rose Sweet will be here to talk about Christ-like relationships. Please join us then on Catholic Answers Live. And in the meantime, we will see you then, God willing.
God bless.